Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Friday, December the 6th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. We're going to start off with news of another storm that's set to hit Kent this weekend. A yellow weather warning for strong winds comes into force today and lasts right through until 6 on Sunday morning. It's called Storm Dara and it's actually the fourth named storm of the season already. It's expected to bring some damaging winds and heavy rain to parts of the county. Let's get the very latest then from Simon Partridge, who's from the Met Office.
Over the next 3 days, we're going to have a real mixed bag of weather across Kent. Through Friday, it will start off quite dry and bright, actually, with a fairly chilly start to the day. But as the day goes on, we'll start to see increasing amounts of cloud coming in from the west. And then overnight, winds will pick up and we'll see rain pushing in. And that's when Storm Dara starts to arrive across the area. Through Saturday, we'll start off with lots of rain around first thing in the morning, winds increasing throughout the day, the strongest of the winds being through the second half of the day and into the evening and overnight period. That's when the rain will clear, but we'll continue with those very strong winds with gusts of 40 to 50 miles an hour possible at times. Then as we move into Sunday, still seeing some strong winds through the day on Sunday, but they will gradually ease down as the day goes on. It will be a drier and brighter day, feeling a little bit cooler as well, but there will still be a few blustery showers around at times. We do have a yellow wind warning out for the whole of Kent throughout much of this weekend. In fact, it's in force from 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon all the way through to 6 o'clock on Sunday morning, and that's to cover gusts of winds of up to 40 to 50 miles an hour. There will be a spell of heavy rain associated with the passage of the storm as well. That's mostly overnight Friday into Saturday, although we are going to see a fair bit of rain around with some heavier bursts. We're not expecting too much in the way of impacts from that. The strongest of the winds are expected around coastal areas. There we could see winds a little bit higher than 50, 60 miles an hour. We're seeing inland where close to 70 miles an hour could be achieved at times. At this time of year, there's obviously a lot of decorations up for Christmas, and we have Christmas markets as well as other things going on. So that those winds can be damaging and can cause things to get blown around quite easily. So it's worth bearing in mind that if you're not needed to go out on Saturday, then it's best to probably stay in to avoid any issues there. This is indeed the fourth named storm of the year. This is not unusual for this time of year. We do see our storm season starting in September. So through the months leading up to Christmas, we often see a few storms being named. It depends really from year to year how quickly those storms do get named. Some years we don't see named storms till later on. But this year, yeah, it's just the way it's worked out that the storms have been forming a little bit earlier than usual due to the strength of the jet stream. But it's nothing unusual, just storm seasons do tend to vary from one year to the next.
Now, bad weather last night led to one of Kent's most popular Christmas attractions being cancelled. Bosses at Leeds Castle said their lights display wouldn't be going ahead. Ticket holders were notified and they'll make further decisions about this weekend's events later on today. Don't forget, you can check the very latest travel news on the blog at Kent Online, and you can hear regular updates over on our sister radio station, KMFM. There's also severe disruption on the rail network today because of a nationwide fault. It's affecting the communication system used between train drivers and signallers. Southeastern say commuters can expect delays and cancellations.
Kent Online News.
Some other top stories for you today, and a convicted sex offender from Sheppey who assaulted a child in Gillingham has been handed a further prison sentence. Ben Hanger was already in jail for attempting to kidnap a schoolgirl in January 2021. The 34-year-old from St Agnes Gardens in Sheerness has been described by police as dangerous and predatory. A Larkfield GP who was previously convicted of sexual assault has been struck off the doctor's register. Dr Sanjay Chatterjee strategy was investigated by the General Medical Council following a complaint from a patient while he worked at Aylesford Medical Centre. The 60-year-old was found guilty of serious professional misconduct. One of two 15-year-old boys being questioned about a huge fire in the derelict Debenhams in Canterbury has been released without charge. The teenager from Ashford was arrested yesterday after the blaze broke out on Monday night. Another boy has been bailed while investigations continue. Now, a man who caused more than £24,000 worth of damage to a Lamborghini parked in Ashford has been ordered to pay compensation. Kate joins me now with more on this story. So, Kate, tell us exactly what happened.
Well, Darren Babbage had been having a drink at the low-key tap room in Queen Street when the expensive car was parked nearby. The owner of the vehicle had walked into town and a group of girls started to take some selfies by the bright green motor. It was at this point Mr. Babbage wandered over with an empty pint glass in his hand. A witness says he claimed to have previously owned a Lamborghini but got rid of it because it didn't suit him.
And what happened next?
Mr. Babbage started attacking the car with the pint glass, and this is the moment. It was all caught on camera when it happened in September last year. He also punched the windscreen of the vehicle. The footage was very quickly shared on TikTok with the owner of the vehicle tagged in. Police were also called and the 49-year-old left the scene.
And can you tell us what happened in court?
Well, magistrates were told Mr. Babbage, who lives at Wainwright Place, handed himself in to police. He also pleaded guilty at the earliest opportunity. His defence team said he apologises profusely for his behaviour, adding that he acted totally out of character. He was ordered to pay £2,400 compensation at £22 a month. He was also handed a 12-month community order and 25 rehab sessions. Speaking to Kent Online after the hearing, Mr. Babbage said he was feeling really angry on that day. There had been problems with my benefits. I just saw red when I was at the pub and the car pulled up. He added, I can't say exactly why I acted like that, but I hold my hands up. I did it.
Kate, thank you ever so much. You can head to Kent Online to see that footage.
Kent Online reports.
34 people have been arrested as police crack down on county line dealers supplying drugs in Kent. Over the course of a week, £120,000 worth of illegal substances were seized. Knives, knuckle dusters and imitation firearms were also found. Raids were carried out on properties in Gravesend, Snodland and Margate.
One more. Guys,
guys!
Stay
away,
Three Kent men are among those who've been charged. The outgoing Archbishop of Canterbury has made his final speech in the House of Lords, saying it was clear he had to stand down.
There comes a time if you are technically leading a particular institution or area of responsibility where the shame of what has gone wrong, whether one is personally responsible or not, must require a head to rub.
Justin Welby's leaving over failures in the church's handling of historical abuse cases. He won't take part in any public Christmas services either. Darford Grammar School's been named today State Secondary of the Year in the South East. Sevenoaks School and Tunbridge School make the top 10 of independents in the region. The list has been compiled by the Sunday Times. Staying with education news, and SEN schools in Kent have threatened the local authority with legal action over proposed changes to how places are allocated. Kent County Council has outlined a series of reforms designed to assign SEN pupils to mainstream schools and reduce a £60 million annual bill for home-to-school transport. Well, the Kent Special Educational Needs Trust say the changes are unlawful and will cause enormous disruption.
Kent Online reports.
A Westgate care home's been told to make immediate improvements following a damning report by inspectors. The Care Quality Commission visited Gordon Lodge Rest Home and found there weren't always enough staff and medicines were poorly managed. The facility, which is run by Fleming Care Homes Limited, has been rated inadequate and placed in special measures. The owners of a Gillingham pub have backed calls by police to remove the landlord following concerns of unreported violence and serious crime. The licence of the Woodland Tavern, which used to be known as the Canterbury Tales, is currently under review. It's after reports one customer was punched and another was headbutted. A licensing hearing will take place next week. Now, it looks like plans for a new Aldi store in Folkestone are going to be given the go-ahead, despite a rival supermarket threatening legal action. Council bosses are standing by their decision to allow the development at the former site of the Silver Spring Mineral Water Company. Lidl had suggested the authority reconsiders. A final decision will be made at a meeting next week. The owners of a Korean restaurant say they're hoping to breathe new life into a dying part of Ashford town centre. Empty storefronts are becoming increasingly common in the new rents area, but the bosses of Seoul Sarang are optimistic their store will bring people to the town. Bosses say so far the reaction from customers has been incredibly positive. And finally, a group of children have recorded two original Christmas songs to raise money for their choir. The Aylesford Community Youth Choir is struggling for funding and came up with the idea to release their music as a unique fundraiser. Kate has been chatting to musical director Paul Richards.
Originally, it started off as a sort of a church choir, and it was sort of the idea of the church to build it up. And they were given a grant to sort of start that. But obviously, that sort of started to run out, and as we branched into it being a community choir, it relies on funding from outside sources, and as with a lot of things, funding is harder to get at the moment because there seems to be less money to go around, and there are more people that need funding. So we are sort of always looking to sort of fund ourselves through either sponsorships or grants or things from organisations and stuff. So we're trying to do a lot more of the fundraising ourselves to keep it going, just because it's sort of been recognised as such a valuable asset to the community and for all the young people involved. So everyone's sort of quite keen to keep it going. So obviously we need money to do that. So that's where we're at.
And you came up with quite an ingenious way of fundraising. So you've been in the recording studio. What can you tell me about it?
Yeah, so that was fun. So basically we had the idea of to try and raise a bit of money. We thought, well, and also a bit of awareness and a good way of marketing ourselves. So I wrote a couple of songs for them. So we're doing a couple of Christmas singles, a double A side. So we wanted to show off both sort of sides of the choir. So I wrote them a sort of a pop song, a Christmas pop song, and also a sort of more traditional sounding kind of Christmas carol type thing. I took them over to my friend's studio, really big audio in Whitstable. I've got a friend there who I do a lot of recording with, and so we had a bit of a day out. All the choir sort of like missioned it over there, and they had a day in the studio. They loved it, like that. We treated them like rock stars for the day. And Ian Sadler there, who's the producer there, is a fantastic producer, and he's made them sound even better than they sounded already. So they sound wonderful, and the songs have come out sounding perfect. So we're very excited to share them with everyone.
And where can we hear them? I think they're on Spotify, is that right?
They will be. So officially we're launching the singles on Saturday. There's a CD available, so if people want to buy a physical CD, go old school. We're selling those for a fiver, so they'll be available whenever the choir are performing, so at the Christmas market or off one of the members. But there's also you can buy them online as well. There's a link somewhere which I'll send you where you can buy them online. But also, yeah, they will be up on all the streaming platforms as well, so things like Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, all of those places, which the kids are very excited about, because they can sort of say, hey Alexa, play Aylesford Community Youth Choir, and it plays. So they're very excited about that. But obviously we get more money from the CDs, because I think we have to have about 250,000 plays on Spotify to earn 100 quid or something, but obviously it's all very helpful, and everything spreads the word, and if people are listening to the songs, we're happy basically.
And we can hear them live, did you say, at the Christmas market this weekend?
Yes, so the first performance of them will be on Saturday at the Christmas market in Aylesford. And then we've got a few more scheduled performances coming up. We're taking part in the Christingle service in Aylesford in the church there, and we'll perform them there as well. And then from Saturday, they'll be available pretty much everywhere. So yeah, listen to them and share them with everyone, and put them on your Christmas playlists, with all the other Mariah Careys and Slades and everything. Put stick them on there with those.
And the songs are available to buy on CD and download from Spotify. And now, with a roundup of everything going on in Kent this weekend, here's Sam Laurie.
Okay, so you probably know by now that we're starting off with a roundup of this weekend's Christmas events. It's officially December, so there's no excuse not to get into the festive spirit, and we're kicking things off with the Dickensian Christmas Festival. Rochester will be hosting its annual festive celebration in honour of Medway's own Charles Dickens on Saturday and Sunday. People dressed as characters from Dickens' classic novels, such as A Christmas Carol and Oliver Twist, will take to the streets for lantern parades, live entertainment and traditional carols on the outdoor stage opposite Rochester Cathedral. The town's festive market is also in full swing, with more than 100 stalls, a Bavarian food village, music and a fun fair. It's all free to enter and is open all weekend at Rochester Castle. However, if Rochester isn't in your neck of the woods, don't worry, that's not the only Christmas market in town this weekend. There's a free craft market at Maidstone Museum and family-friendly activities and live music at Hatch, Gravesend Street Food Market, both on Saturday. And on Saturday and Sunday, there's a fair with local sellers, seasonal food and drink, and a Santa's Grotto at Whitstable Castle. If you fancy some music this weekend, Spandau Ballet star Martin Kemp is bringing his throwback DJ night to Kent, but he's giving it a festive twist. Back to the 80s sees the former pop star and EastEnders actor spin all of the biggest tunes of the decade, and as it's Christmas, he'll be throwing in some festive bangers too, so get ready to sing and dance all night long at Dreamland's Hall by the Sea on Saturday. And of course, I couldn't let you go without mentioning some of Kent's brilliant pantos that are opening up this weekend. There are plenty to see all over the county, but I'm going to rattle through three that will be welcoming their first audiences of the season over the weekend. But make sure you check out our full panto guide up on Kent Online and What's On to make sure you don't miss your nearest show. Okay, here we go. So, there's Jack and the Beanstalk at the Woodville in Gravesend opening today, Aladdin at the Sarah Thorne Theatre in Broadstairs opening on Saturday, and Snow White at the Churchill Theatre in Bromley also opening on Saturday. And just so you can plan ahead, Sleeping Beauty at the Sinden Theatre in Tenterden and Jack and the Beanstalk at the Central Theatre in Chatham both open on Thursday this week. So whether you end up booking tickets to the panto, visiting a festive market, or dancing the night away, I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Kent Online Sport.
First up today, and the Kent man who's been chair of the British Olympic Association for the past 8 years has told the Kent Online podcast it's time London bid to host the Games again. Former Faversham MP Sir Hugh Robertson was the Olympics minister during London 2012, and he hopes the capital stages the Games in the not-too-distant future.
Well, I think London 2012 for us as a country, it was difficult. You know, it's difficult to beat that. And I say that, you know, not because the games are special. I fairly obviously think they were, or that Team GB were brilliant. They obviously think they were too. But it was the way it brought the country together. And you know, I remember travelling down to the Olympic Park on the tube, and people would come, you know, see a name tag and come up to you and say what a fantastic time they'd be having and how much they'd be enjoying the Olympics. And it sort of gave the world a really different view of us as a country. I mean, it's a shame that hasn't survived the ensuing decade quite the way we all hoped it would. But it was a fantastic time.
Yeah, it really was. I remember that the games makers in particular were just fantastic. And how well do you think we've carried on the legacy of that games? Because we're still hearing now about young people who were inspired then who are now Olympians.
Yes, and indeed, we took all the Olympians, all the medal winners, to Buckingham Palace, where the King very kindly had a reception for them a couple of weeks ago. And it was extraordinary how many of them, when he asked them, you know, how did you get involved in your sport, were inspired by London 2012. And I always think if you want to understand the 2012 legacy, just go up to Stratford and have a look around. I mean, it's the most vibrant new district in London. It was created entirely on the back of the Games. Unlike many other host cities, we haven't got venues with sort of knotweed blowing through them. They're all being used for something fantastic. It's a great hub. People love living there. The property prices have gone through the roof because it's so popular. So, you know, I think in terms of the legacy of it, it's been brilliant. We often said afterwards that the thing we didn't predict but really struck us was the way it transformed the way people looked at us as a country. And I often think that's probably the strongest reason, providing you get it right, for hosting the Olympic Games. William Hague, who was the Foreign Secretary at the time, told me that 44, the first 44 conversations he had after the end of 2012, with either foreign ministers or heads of state, had started with them saying, "Congratulations for laying on the best ever Olympic Games." And that sort of publicity for a country is impossible to beat.
Is it time we start thinking about hosting it again? Would we put in a bid in the near future?
Yes, we absolutely should be thinking about it, and I hope we will put in a bid in the near future. I mean, the trouble is they get decided quite a long way out. So we're 2024 now, just out of Paris. 2028's in Los Angeles. 2032's in Brisbane. All the various hosting cities are sort of, getting together for 2036. So it could well turn into a shootout between India and Qatar. So probably realistically it's going to be 2040. But yes, absolutely. I mean, London is a brilliant hosting city for the Olympics because it works for time zones, works for television, both, stateside and in Europe. It's the centre, or has been the centre of the world's media. People like you are there broadcasting in English, which is the internationally accepted language these days. London is a sorry, is a huge commercial centre, so the sponsorship is very easy to put together. So there's an there are a whole packet of reasons, a whole package of reasons why sports want to bring their events to London, none more so than the Olympics.
Last week, it was confirmed Olympic rower Catherine Granger will take over when Sir Hugh steps down. On to football now, and Gillingham welcomes Salford City to Priestfield in League Two this weekend. They'll be looking to bounce straight back from Wednesday night's disappointing 2-1 defeat at Bromley. That was their seventh loss in just 9 games. Here's manager Mark Bonner.
We've got to get it right quick because no one enjoys this. No one wants to come and watch this. No one enjoys coming into work. It's miserable. The second side of that is this league will be open till blooming March or April. So you've seen teams that can put runs together. And we'll have to improve and we'll have to get better and we'll have to make changes and all those things. This season can still be one that we get something out of. It doesn't feel like it or look like it now, but it can be, but only if we turn that round ourselves. So I think that's the key. We've got to get better soon because we don't want to be sat where we are. I think the league's really open. I think the league is fairly average. I think there's not, when I say that, it's not a disrespectful comment. I just mean there's not like loads of standout teams. I think it's so even that the opportunity is there to put runs together. And all we keep talking about is a couple of wins and we're back in it. But it's like we're just hoping that it's going to happen rather than going and making it happen. So I think that's the key. Like, everyone's got to go and get after it. But I don't think some of the levels in our game, some of the goals we've conceded, some of the chances we've missed, some of the moments in games, I don't think it's reflective enough of where we need to be. And I don't think the supporters and the staff and some of the players deserve that, really. But we've got to find a better level because we haven't been good enough and we haven't been consistent enough. And so we'll have to be those things this weekend because we're playing another good side. And if we find our best level, we can win it. But if we don't, we'll get beat. It's really simple.
Kick-off tomorrow is at 3. You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online and we'll have reaction to the resulting bulletins over on KMFM on Sunday morning. And in cricket, England are on top after day one of their second test against New Zealand. The tourists were bowled out for 280 in Wellington with Kent Zach Crawley scoring 17, but they then took 5 wickets with the host left on 86 by the end of play. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, it gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Don't forget to check out our latest review from the Secret Drinker when you're on the site today, and I do hope you have a fantastic weekend. Stay safe in the weather. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.